Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Punaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Ya eko vibhati swatashuddha cheta
prakasha swarupo pinane vadhishu Shravodakasto yatha bhanurekah Sanityopalabdhi swarupo hamatma Yaha ekah vibhati swatah shuddha chetah prakasha swarupah api nana iva dishu shrava udaka stah yatha bhanuhu ekah saha nitya upalabdhi swarupah aham atma. So, I am that atma, I am that self that is nitya upalabdhi, means timeless consciousness, yaha to the top line, yaha, who is ekaha, who as one shines as one, we could say vibhati. Vibhati means shines, I'll explain that in a minute. Vibhati swataha, who shines of its own accord. Swataha means on its own, not because something is illumining it. So it shines on its own accord. Shuddha chetaha, for those whose mind is pure. For the person whose mind, chetas, chetaha is nominative singular. Shuddha chetaha is a bahuvrihi. So that means for the one, yasya, for the one whose chetas, whose mind is pure, I am that self who is one alone, ekaha, who shines of its own accord. Vibhati means vishesha bhati. Vishesha means in its own particular way. How does something shine? We're not used to really something, we're used to something being lit up, not being its own light. So that's the vishesha, that's the peculiarity in vibhati. It's shining because it's self-luminous, because it's consciousness itself. It doesn't need another consciousness or another knower to light it up. So the vibhati means that it is self-evident. Consciousness is self-evident. It doesn't require anything in the universe. It doesn't require the universe even for it to be know itself, not in any type of dual way, but just because its essential nature is consciousness. And consciousness is self-evident. Right? Nothing else is self-evident. Everything else shines after me. Right? You know. So I see this. This paper isn't shining of its own accord. It's shining because there's light in the room and my eyes are looking at it and my eyes are illumined by my mind and my mind is illumined by consciousness. This has no luminosity of its own. You know. It has no consciousness of its own. And so for this self, which shines of its own accord, for those whose mind is pure. I'll tell you what they mean by that as we get to it. Let me just translate the verse. And he says, prakasha swarupaha api. Swarupa, one's its nature. So even though my nature is my swarupa, is prakasha. Prakasha means self-luminous, self-evident as consciousness. So api, even though I am self-luminous, my very nature, my very being is self-luminous, self-shining, I am as though many, I exist, I shine as though many in every buddhi, right? So you think that the self-evident consciousness belongs to you, and you think it belongs to you. I am me, and you are you, and you are you, and you are you. So we have, what, 15 people or something in the room. Each one of us is our own independent being. From the standpoint of the buddhi, which actually is not swaprakasha, it's not self-evident, it is illumined. Your buddhi is illumined. It's known to you as an object, actually. We talk like that. I know my thoughts. I know my feelings. All of these things are there. It's known to me. And yet I take myself to be something that is me, even though I'm aware of it. That's why he says this api, you know. Even though I am my own light, I am self-evident by my own nature, still I appear as though many, many in each buddhi. It's just like in the dream, you know, every character in the dream says, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. Everyone takes itself to be, you know, their own individual self. Whereas in reality, each one of those buddhis is though a little reflection, a little mirror, a little sattva that allows for the manifestation of the self from the standpoint of the upadhi. It's such an interesting thing because even in the dream, as well as in the waking state, the mind is known. The thoughts are known. The thoughts and emotions come into being and go out of being. I don't. That itself should be enough. You know, how can I, me, be attached to something which leaves and I'm still there? It's almost like a psychosis. Except that we all are suffering from the same psychosis, you know? It would be like, I think I'm taking myself to be you, and then you're getting up and leaving. Do I feel myself going, you know? You're leaving. I should feel myself going. Instead I just say, you know, I'm leaving. I mean, what is it? It's a really a totally odd, except that we're all in the same boat with it. It is totally odd for you to take yourself to be something that wasn't here a minute ago, is here now, and then is on its way. And so this is true not just for a thought or a vritti, though the only thing we do experience is our thoughts and our perceptions, which are all thought modifications. But any experience at all enjoys that same. Any experience enjoys that same that same situation. Anything that changes, you know, cannot be me unless I've changed with it. That's the thing. There's a very famous logic. It's called Anvaya Vyatireka that applies here and also applies to the waking, dream, and deep sleep state. The Anvaya Vyatireka means this. The Anvaya shows a correlation between two things, a relationship between two things. So the stock example for this, the anvaya of the anvaya vyatireka is, just in English without the example, when this is, that is. That's the anvaya. So that shows a correlation. If this thing is there, then that is there. So there has to be a relationship. When this is, that is. So there's some sort of a correlation. Okay. For instance, when the day is, this is when the sun is, the day is. That's a stock example. If the sun is up, then it's day, right? So there's a correlation there. And there's even more of a correlation that would allow me to say the vyatireka, which would go, when that is not, this is not. So the anvaya, when this is, that is. And when this is not, that is not. So when that's the case, on the positive and the negative you feel, there's an actual relationship here. There's a dependency. You know, one depends upon the other. So like with the sun example, when the sun is, the day is. Right? When the sun is, it's day out. Mm-hmm. When the sun has set, when the sun is gone, the day is gone. So there's a correlation, there's a dependency there, because positive and negative, between the sun and the day. So here, that should apply across the board pretty much to everything, you know? When this is, that is. When this is not, that is not. It's just kind of a logic, it's a simple person's logic that we operate off of. We don't even think about it. And when you tell somebody, it's like, duh, you know, that's true. But here, when my thought is, I am. When the thought is gone, I still am. When my emotion is, I am. When the emotion is gone, I still am. I can even go. When the waking state is, here we are in this waking state. When the waking state is, I am. When the dream state is, so we're going to make a correlation. This would be the correlation. When the waking state is, I am. When the waking state is gone, replaced by the dream state, then I'm gone. No. What is it really? When the waking state is, I am. When the waking state is gone, being replaced by the dream state, I still am. Nothing has happened to me at all, you know? And so therefore, between this waking state, here I am, and totally identified with this body, mind, sense organs, and in the dream, and so here I am, but in the dream state, here I am, and absolutely not identified with this body, mind, sense organs, I could take on the body of a dog, or the body of anybody. It could be myself in a dream form, or it could be myself as a little girl, or it could be some person I don't even know. Or I could have no form at all. No form at all. Just the whole dream. So we have to say the correlation there, the identity, the dependency between me and the waking experience is simply not there, because I don't depend upon the waking experience to be. Whether it's waking state, dream state, deep sleep state, I still am. And these states of experience swirl around. You know, I'll get it now. Maybe I'll do a little bit with the deep sleep today, but for now, let's just do the unbhaya vyatireka. Okay? So if you see that, you have to think, that is so interesting. Because when you're having this waking state experience, you obviously take yourself to be the body. Right, the body, mind, sense organs, which through this see or seeing differentiation that we did the other day, I'm aware of this, I'm aware of the body, subject, object, I'm aware of my sense organs, I'm aware of my mind, my thoughts, my moods, my emotions, I'm aware of time and space, subject, object, all of these things are coming and going and changing. I have no relationship with them. I can't because they're objectified and they change. That unvaya vyatireka is not going to work. When this is, that is. When this is not, it's not that that is not. When this thought is, that I am. When this thought is gone, I still am. We know it's not working because we go through the subject-object differentiation and I see all of these things are changing and they're objectified. They're different than me, the subject. I have a subject-object relationship with them. So I'm free of them. I'm a sangha. Same thing happens when I look at my situation in reference to the waking state versus the dream state. That's a much bigger palette, right? It's the whole waking state. It's not just my vritti. It's the whole waking state. So when the waking state is, I am. When the waking state is replaced by the dream state, I still am. So now let's look at what is lost. What do you lose when you go from the waking state to the dream state in terms of your experience? You lose everything you thought you were. Basically, you lose this physical body. Because you've either not taken another one in the dream state, or you took a different one, or you didn't take one at all. You lose the physical body, you lose your identity. You could be identity in the sense of who you think this person is in this time and place in the waking state. Could be something totally different in the dream state. Right? You can lose your gender. You can lose your species. You know? You have a different set of sense organs. If you say you have a full meal in the dream, you can wake up still, you're still hungry. You know? You go to bed full and you're starving in the dream. You know? So the waking person, this body, mind, sense organs, is a different person than the person in the dream. Of course, it is exactly the same self, exactly the one same self, and so, of course, when the person in the waking state says, you know, I am me, I'm so-and-so, and blah, 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 I'm the me, this is myself. In the dream, that waking kid, whoever you're identified in the dream, says, yes, I am me, this is myself, blah, blah, blah. Exactly the same self. No problem. No problem, because there's no shift in me. But there is never a shift in me. There is never a different me. Maybe that's why I can so easily go from the dream state, from the waking state to the dream state without any problem at all. Because there's never any loss for me. Nothing happens at all. It's just a different upadhi. Right? So I take upadhi, you know, the conditioning adjunct. I'm just taking a different upadhi. You know? I'm just taking a little different universe. A little subtle universe, physical universe. They both seem physical to me. It's nothing. I don't even notice. I don't notice anything. Because nothing has happened to me. This is so important to understand, because when you want to understand, what is the death experience like? What happens when you die? Well, if I can go from the waking state to the dream state, you know, go from the waking state to the dream state, and there is not the slightest ripple in my being, I'm replacing one universe with another, there's not the slight, what one totally different experience is replaced by another totally different experience, there's not a ripple in me. And when I wake up and the whole dream is annihilated, nothing happens to me. So what do you think happens when you die? Nothing. Absolutely nothing happens to you. Something happens to the scenery. Something happens to the travel. I mean, your sense organs and whatnot are not using these physical eyes to see. The subtle body immediately takes on another form based upon the loka, the world that it finds itself in. So there's change in scenery, there's travel, which I might remind you that you have done beginningless times before, and so it is not a new experience, because there's not even a first time that you've done it, because you've taken body after body after body after body from beginningless time. And so what happens between lives is as well known to you and as obvious to you as what happens in a life. This is your body, this is your mind, this is your sense organs, this is your world. These are your parents, and these are da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So we live our life in this familiar space in ignorance. That's the only big problem, you know, in ignorance. But in terms of familiarity of our worlds and the different dimensions of worlds, the different lokas, means the different worlds that we travel through as subtle bodies, that's been going on from beginningless time, so there's no unfamiliarity. You would think, even honestly, to go from the waking state to the dream, that should be a very traumatic experience. Because you're giving up one creation, the whole creation. And all of your friends and all of your associations, giving up everything. You're giving up your body and your mind and your sense organs and who, everything that you are. And you just find yourself in another world. With another body, with another set of situations. And do we mind No, we don't mind. And not only that, we say something like, I hope I have some good dreams tonight. You know? And you even can, if you know how to be with dreams, you can even suggest dreams. Suggest that you be given a good dream tonight. Your unconscious hears that and it might cook something up for you. So that you have a good dream. There's no fear in that, you know? There's no fear in it. Very, very interesting. As we start to analyze it, really analyze it, you can understand why there's no fear in it. Why there's no fear when you wake up from the dream, the whole thing has gone into smithereens and disappeared completely. Why don't you grieve over all those dead people? and the planet that you've lost, you know? We don't grieve because nothing has happened. It's mithya. Nothing has happened. And from the standpoint of the waking state, that's very clear to us. So this asangatvam, you know, the asangatvam of my being is something when... Asangatvam means it's not attached to anything, especially not to mithya. Mithya has... anything that's mithya, it has no capacity by the very definition. We say this whole creation is mithya, means it has no independent being of its own. We went through that kind of quickly. I don't expect all of you to really grasp that unless you've heard it before. But we can't establish, just to quickly again, we can't establish that there's anything really here in this creation, even though we're experiencing it. And the reason we can't establish it is twofold. One is anything that you think is a thing, like iPhone. It is a thing, right? But it's not a thing. It's a nama. It's a name for a conglomerate of how many hundreds and hundreds or more parts. Even when you get into pixels, you're getting into, you know, thousands or millions of little parts. And so this is the name for a bunch of things put together in an orderly way. It's not a thing. So we went through this, that even you get the smallest part, and as long as that smallest part takes up space, it is divisible, right? Because it can be divided. You just need the right instrument as long as it takes up space. So there's no such thing here as a thing. There are names. Names within names within names within names of what the ultimate, what we call vastu, what the ultimate thing is. And that ultimate thing can't have any form at all because the form is divisible by nature and it's objectifiable by nature. You need a microscope, you know, or a telescope if your eyes can't see it. But it's objectifiable by nature if it takes up a form. So if it takes up a form, it's divisible. It exists within time and space. So it's subject to change. Second problem. Subject to change. If it's subject to change, it comes into being and goes out of being. That's the very nature of change. It's always the non-existence of the prior condition. The instant there's change. So that's what always it is. That's what we mean by change. Change is birth and death. That means anything that changes and is time-bound is bordered by non-existence because it no longer exists once it's changed. Right? Second reason is not really here. So whatever you experience in this world, because it's only a nama, it's only a name, you can't find any asset, anything there, and because anything that exists within time has non-existence on either side of it, and nothing can come from non-existence because it's not there. Therefore, we have to say, this that you experience has no being of its own. Because first of all, you can't find the thing, right? Not only because you can't find it, it can't be found. As long as it exists within time and space, the thingness cannot be found because it's divisible into an infinite regress. Divisible, 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 divisible. If there's no thing there, then now we've finally found what is the actual content. But I'm sorry, you can't see it. Because you can only see form. You can't see it, you can only be it. That's what it amounts to. no form, and it is. And that is the reality of what we have here. That is the Satyam. So we cannot give any type of beingness to this creation as though there's a second thing here. I am and you are. I have been, I am a conscious being, you are a conscious being. You are a conscious being, you are a conscious being. So there's two, three, four, 8 billion conscious beings here. No. They are 8 billion human beings here, all of which have sukshma shariras, subtle bodies, right? All of which allow for the manifestation of consciousness, kind of like the sun illumining the water bucket. That's what is here. It's easy to understand in the dream. We have 8 billion human beings in the dream world. 8 billion human beings, each saying, I am, I am, I am, 8 billion times. But what is the self that they're labeling? What is the conscious being that they're labeling? Only the me, the conscious being from whom the whole dream has come. There's only one conscious being, and that conscious being is me, and this me is not illumined by anything. Now, just think of that problem. What if me, this conscious being, needed some kind of a light bulb to light me up? You know? How are we going to manage that? How would we manage that? Because the light bulb exists within the world that is projected. What if it needs another me to look at me? How are we going to manage that? Because the other me would have to exist within time and space in order for there to be two of us. If there's no time and space, I can't divide myself into two to have somebody looking at me and I could look back, hello, hello. There's no space to allow for two. So there's only self-evident me here, but I'm as though many from the standpoint of all of the buddhis. It's true in the dream also. Every buddhi, every mind, of every human being, of every animal, of every insect, of every being that has a subtle body, there is a sense of me because of the sattva, the reflective capacity of sattva, in which that consciousness as though reflects. Right? But, you know, the face in the mirror is not me. The me experience is not the face in the mirror. The me experience is only me. It's not something that you can give to something else as though a real thing, string out the me experience somehow, reflect the me experience. Consciousness is not something that can be objectified to be reflected as an object. You can't object you can't objectify yourself, you just simply are. So, what this verse says now, it has a very interesting word. Shuddha Chetaha. It says, this fact, the fact of this, that this one self, you know, which shines as many, as though shines in many, in all, because of all of the buddhis. Nana means many and varied. Because each buddhi, each body, mind, sense, organs is different, you know. And so the self, as though shines in many and varied way in each of the various buddhis, the 8 billion buddhis we have just for the humans, shines in on this one tiny planet. So how many infinite number there are. So it shines in all of these various ways, even though, you know, itself being one and self-luminous, Prakasha Chaitanya itself, it as though becomes many from the standpoint of the buddhi. He gives an example. He says, Sharava Udakastaha Yata Banuhu Ekaha. Just like Yata, just like the Banu, just like the sun, which is Eka, which is one alone, abiding, shines, abiding, staha, in the water in a lot of plates. A Sharava is a plate, like a bowl, a shallow bowl. This is Sharava. So say you have all these bowls, you know, filled with water. Udaka is water. So Sharava Udaka. So Staha. Just like the sun abiding in all of these Sharavas, in all of these bowls, right? Only one. Banuhu Ekaha. There's only one sun. But it appears to be many because it's reflecting in all of these bowls of water. You know? And so you say, oh, look at so many suns. Oh my goodness, so many suns. But each one of those suns is mithya. It has no being. It has no experience. It has no self, no essence, nothing apart from the sun. Its source, its being is only the sun. The sunness belongs to the sun. The sunness belongs to the sun, not to the reflection in that water. And so in your own self-experience of me, it belongs to you, not to the buddhi, which you objectify and which seems to be conscious, because there is nothing but consciousness. So it's going to seem to be conscious if in any way it can reflect. If it has any as sattva, any manifestation or reflective capacity, it itself will seem to be conscious, even though the whole thing is known as an object and can't talk back to you. So that's the grand, grand delusion that keeps us in samsara, actually. Because I become a limited being, subject to death, identified with all my moods and emotions, seeking for happiness and stability, and being loved and being safe, and all of these things. Very legitimate, because this isn't safe, really. Everything's changing all the time. Everything's being born and dying. What's safe about it? Nothing. So that you're afraid. Of course you're afraid. You should be afraid. You know, our defense system, Bhagavan gave us a good defense system to keep us sedated from the reality of the threatening nature of just being alive, you know, the threatening nature of the fact that we will definitely die. We don't think about it, and that's part a great deal of that is due to our defense system. We don't walk around realizing that we could be, you know, killed in any second, and so could our whole family. It's nothing. Anything could happen in any second. We just go on. You know? We're able to go on thanks to Bhagavan and his defense system. So who is it that realizes all of this? Is the one who has Shuddha Chaitaha, whose mind is pure. So now, when we really get down to the meaning, ultimate meaning of pure Shuddha, it is that which is free of ajnanam, that which is free of ignorance. So that mind which is free of ignorance. Why do we say that? Because ajnanam, self-ignorance, is the cause for all the problem. Because of self-ignorance, there's the ahankara, there's the I notion, there's raga dvesha, let me have this and not have that. There's all of the grief when I don't get my way, there's the fear of death. You know, there's the fear of becoming small or unhappy. There's the fear of not being intelligent when actually I'm all knowledge. You know, it's just all, there's just a domino effect. All of samsara, the domino effect of samsara, like a bouncing ball, begins with ajnanam. It does not begin with the atma, unless you want to blame the atma for the ajnanam, you can do that. But the problem that we have begins with the ajnanam. So the Shuddha Chaitaha is that one who is free from the ashuddhi brought about by self-ignorance. For that one, this self, which I, and Hastam Malika says, I am that Atma, who is Nitya Upalabdhi, timeless consciousness, who shines of my own accord, right, self-evident. But even though being self-evident, I appear to be many and varied, shining in all the different buddhis, because of shining in all the different buddhis, just like the sun appears to be many, shining in all of the, you know, bowls of water. But for me, being Shuddha Chetaha, one whose mind no longer suffers from the Ashuddhi, the impurity of Ajnanam, of self-ignorance. I recognize myself as Nitya Chaitanya, Nitya Upalabdhi, Ekaha, one alone, one being that is the self of all of this. I don't take myself to be the Buddhis, which are actually objectifiable and doing all kinds of things, continually changing. Let them change. Let them be all part of Ishvara. All these things that can be objectified, they're all part of Ishvara. They're part of Ishvara's story. You just be. Be yourself. Enjoy being yourself. And let Bhagavan be Bhagavan. This body gets thrown to Bhagavan. Bhagavan has the body. Give Bhagavan your body. Give Bhagavan your sense organs. Give Bhagavan your organs of action. And just enjoy the play. This sounds like Swami Bhagishanadi. You know, enjoy the enjoy the Leela. Enjoy all this play. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. There's nothing to be gained from any of this. Zero. Zero. You already are everything you seek. So enjoy yourself and feel so fortunate to get to be alive and walk around in Ishvara. Feel such a huge blessing. All of our energy, as Swamiji's, Pooja Swamiji just recently said, when he was very, very sick, still sick, but when he was very, very sick, he told his sannyasis and the people were there, he said, don't waste your time. You have this birth. You have this birth. You have this mumukshutvam. He's talking to all of us, we're all mumukshus, we're all there to gain knowledge. Don't waste your time. Time goes by so fast, you know. Own up, gain this knowledge, own up this knowledge, and enjoy. You know? Don't mess around with all of these dukkha-vrittis. Don't mess around with all this ajnanam and all of this. It's all just, it has no essence. It's pure suffering for nothing. So don't waste your time. Spend your time really being serious about gaining this knowledge. That was his message. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so.
Shate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.